Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's Kim, and today's conversation was all about one of my favorite things to do, travel. Yes, travel. And I spoke today with Miss Allison Sharp, and I met her at an event, and I really resonated with how she got into her passion for travel. She always wanted to travel. Her kids were, you know, out of the house. And she decided, you know, I don't want to wait till I'm 80. I want to be able to see the world when I'm able. And she and a boyfriend at the time were going on a multi-month vacation. Well, let's just say it didn't go as planned. A few weeks before the adventure, they broke up. And she was left with the choice, does she go, does she not go? Well, guess what? She went. And from that experience, she has learned about patience, resiliency, to be curious as well as courageous, and that fear is a liar. This conversation was all about how time is not refundable and you have to live it to the fullest. So if you've ever been afraid to do something by yourself, on your own, Allison has traveled to several countries by herself. She is an expert on what it takes to just get on a plane and go research all of that magical stuff. So listen up. If you've ever wanted to do or even consider solo travel, Allison has it all. So listen to the episode. Let me know what you do, what you think. Take a screenshot, share it with me on my socials, as well as make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to Fit Girl Magic Podcast. So here's Allison. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon, Magic Makers. It's Kim again, and I'm bringing you another great conversation. I met Allison a few months ago, and we were sitting around a table, and you know, everyone was telling their story. And she told her story, and I was like, damn, girl, I need to know more about you. And she also intrigued me because she likes to travel, and we all know I like to live that flip-flop life. So, Allison, I want to, you know, have you introduce yourself to my magic makers. And you were supposed to go away on a trip and the person backed out at the last minute. So let people know a little bit about that backstory.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. I am really happy to be here. My name's Allison Sharp, like Kim said, and I do travel extensively. I have a travel vlog on YouTube, and I basically help people to kind of get out of their way and travel and do whatever else they'd like to do in life. But the backstory that you're talking about, so I was a single mom for many years, and then I always told myself that once my boys got old enough to move out on their own, that I would travel the world. And yeah, but that's probably not going to happen. I always said, well, I'm going to go, you know, pack up my stuff and move to my parents' house as a base and just travel the world. So in 2018, last year, I kind of started to realize that my boys were kind of at that point in their life of moving on to their own. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I could either go get another apartment or I could do what I said I was going to do. And I was like, would I really do that? Could I really do that? And around the same time, well, not around the same time, but like months or whatever before that, I got into a relationship with somebody who was retired. So we started making plans to travel. And then I was like, well, this could be a great time to do all the things and have somebody to go with. So it all kind of happened really quickly all at the same time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, this is going to be my path. I'm going to finally do it. I'm tired of talking about it. So he and I, my boyfriend at the time, we made the plans and I bought the ticket and I was ready to go. And my boys moved out and I moved to my parents. And 2 weeks before this big trip to Europe, which we were going to go for like 3 to 6 months. So it wasn't like a little 2 week trip, you know, it was like a big deal. And also, side note, I was working remotely for another company. So I was able to go for that long and still work. So 2 weeks before that big trip, he and I broke up. And, you know, when you go through a breakup, it's already hard because mentally you're kind of messed up. Emotionally, you're kind of messed up.
Yep.
You need time to like heal and think about things. But, you know, this trip was pending. And I was like, well, now what? And my parents and everybody, all my friends were like, are you still going to go? I was like, hell yeah, I'm still going to go. I'm not going to not go. I'm not going to sit home and cry. I could sit in Italy and cry. I mean, you know,
you're like, I could sit on a plane and cry.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, well, I'm going to do this. And I guess ideally I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go over to Europe and just be totally fine. And it's going to be so easy and effortless. And it was not those things. It was really difficult. And honestly, probably in the top five things, that's the most challenging thing I've ever done in my entire adult life. It was extremely challenging doing it by myself and trying to work. And at the time, I was also trying to do my like YouTube vlogs and stuff. And it was just more than one person could really handle. But at the end of, I went for 3 months. At the end, I came back after many a meltdown in Europe. But I was like, I am a champion. I could do anything. I'm so awesome. Like the self-love increased, the courage increased, like everything about me, like that was already good, like got even better. And it just also made me love people and culture and everything so much more. So like the whole thing ended up being really, really empowering.
So, you know, if I kind of, you know, take a step back. So, you know, people hear this like, oh my gosh, you went and had a horrible time. But you're like, no, you know, through that, you know, all those challenges, all those hiccups, you realize that you could do it.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds probably, you're right. It probably sounds like I had a terrible time.
No. I re-emphasize that because think about other things in life, you know. Even if you're just got a flat tire, you're like, ah, oh, the car sucks. My life sucks. And it just turns into this giant snowball. And in the moment, you're just like, what the fuck? But after it, you know, you can, and you have a moment to process, you're like, you know what? I can look back and be like, well, that was a turning point of my life. You know, you're like, you know what? I don't need someone to go on a trip with. Like, I can just go. Mm-hmm. And two, you're like, shit's going to go wrong. That's life. But I can figure shit out.
Yes. Yeah. Like all in all, like it was still a great trip in terms of like seeing things and, you know, experiencing things, but also things do go wrong. I mean, a lot of things went wrong, but like at the same time, you know, you'll get through it. That's my message to everybody is like, you can figure it out. You have like, one of the number one things that I talk about is how undervalued patience is in our society. And patience will get you a long way in life. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned was that we don't have to like do everything at like warp speed. We can slow down and we can figure things out. And if you want to go on a trip, slow down and think about how you can actually do it. And you're never going to have all the answers. You're never going to have like a perfectly aligned life. And so it's just a matter of the desire. If that's something you want to do, do it. You'll figure it out. It will come together.
So, you know, on your adventure, what was, you know, one standout of like what went wrong and that proved to you, you know, just what you said, you know, having patience and just resiliency?
Oh man, like this. So I went to the first place I went to Italy and I went there for a month. And so I went to different parts of Italy. And so I always heard about the Amalfi Coast. And I was like, oh, that sounds luxurious. I think I need to do that. Well, one of the biggest challenges was that I was working remotely, which means I had to have internet connection. And, you know, to keep my job, I had to work. It's, you know, I wasn't just on vacation here. So I went to this small village. It was like up in the mountains. It was like, I don't even know where it was, but it was above the Amalfi Coast, because I was going to stay in this one place for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and then take a bus down to the Amalfi Coast, because it's hard to describe, but the Amalfi Coast is really hard to get to. It's like a 2-lane highway, and like buses
and cars.
A 2-lane
scary highway.
Oh, scary. Oh, you've been there?
Yes. Oh, a 2-lane scary highway.
Very scary. Like, the cars are passing within an inch of each other. It's nuts. So I decided to go to this small village at the top and work, and then go down, you know, and keep going down. Well, when I got to this Airbnb, which claimed to have internet, you know, I logged in and there was no internet. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm going to be here for like 3 or 4 days. I cannot not work. So I asked the guy, who spoke very broken Italian and English. And he's like, no, this is how it is. It's how it is here. We don't have fiber optica, or whatever he called it, fiber optics, basically. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, we have like basic internet, like basically like dial up, but worse. And I was like, oh no, honey, this is not going to work. Like, I can't. And I was freaking out, and like, I couldn't even make phone calls to like back home to like try to figure out what to do. And it was just like, I just had this full on meltdown. And I was like, what am I doing? What am I going to do? Like, I have to work, and like, I already paid for this, and I don't know where else I can go. And the bus only came like once a day, because it was like a small village up in the mountains. And I was like legit just freaking out. And I just told the guy, I was like, I'm going to have to check out tomorrow. And I had already paid for it, but I was like, I guess I'll just have to lose the money, because I got to go. I got to do this. And I just remembered like being in this Airbnb, it being in such a small village there. And on top of that, what made it even worse is they were having like a festival, and it was a small town. And I thought that was going to be quaint, but no, the stage was right in the middle of the town, which was like so small that it was the most loud music ever. I couldn't get to sleep. I was crying. Like, I didn't know that there wasn't even a shower at this Airbnb. It was like a tub, and it was crazy. I just like had a full on meltdown, and this was kind of at the beginning of my trip. And so I was like, oh shit, this is not going to go well. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I did. I ended up checking out the next day and taking the bus down, and I didn't even have another accommodation. And luckily there was one room for one night, and they had Wi-Fi. So I figured it out. But from then on, I had to kind of piece together different, you know, nights here and nights there, and just try to figure out how to do it all while trying to work and find like good Wi-Fi. So it was definitely challenging, and mentally just trying to get around with the language barrier, and you know how the roads are, just trying to figure it all out. So that was a hard one.
And here's where you said to yourself, you're like, all right, I'm just going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, when you get into that situation, you're just like, you know, you just want to sit in the middle of the road and cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, you know, if you can like look back to the Allison of that time, you know, what was it that said to you, like, you know what, I can't stay in this little village, as cute as it is. I need some functionality. Like, what made you just say, you know what, I'm just going to go to Amalfi and I'm going to figure it out?
That is a good question. And I think over time, I've decided to honor my word to myself more and more, and not like second guess myself. And so I had decided to start just being more courageous. I mean, like, okay, and more curious. That's like another big thing, is to be more curious. Like, what's going to happen? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? I miss a day of work. Okay, cool. Like, it's not ideal, you know, but I have to try. I have to try something, because these are things that is like, I want to see. And, you know, your show is about women over 40, and like, I'm going to be 46 next week. And, you know, you see your parents getting older, you see yourself getting older, you see like a lot of people getting sick. It's like, oh, like life is really upon us. Like, it's here. Like, it's not going to wait for us. And so I think it kind of all hit me that if I'm going to do it, it's now. It's not going to be like, oh, I'll do that later in life. No, it is later in life. It's now. So I think just that desire to see the things that I've wanted to see and explore and be curious, it just kind of took over and was like, well, what would happen if I do this? And just kind of making the decision to give it a try.
And, you know, I like that because that can translate into so many different areas in your life, you know, that you said, you talked about that, you know, having that curiosity. And mm-hmm. I think so many of us, we have that wonder, but then we let the fear overtake the wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where we have that, like, you know, stranger danger, if we will, that
right.
what we don't know, we think is just going to hurt us, or that what if we fail? You know, here you are, you're talking about a failure. You're like, oh, I found this place. It said it had internet.
Right?
Yeah. No internet. So you could have, you know, packed up your toys and been like, it's a sign.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. True.
So here's where I want you, those listening, to think about what is something that you want to do in your life. What is something that you've put the fear in front of you? And, you know, as Allison said, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? If something's going to lose your life, yeah, that's the worst thing that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You could always come back from embarrassment. You can always come back from a bad day. You know, she came back from, she had a shitty Airbnb. Well, I could have a shitty Airbnb in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So versus being 3,000 miles from home, you can still have that shitty Airbnb, but
yeah.
you have to decide, you know, how badly you want to be where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think like this goes a lot deeper too, but I think you have to, like, for me, I'll say I re-examined my life and realized like what is it that I really wanted in life? And the most important thing to me is freedom. And so I started to choose to realize that fear is an illusion. Like fear is in us, like you said, like that fight or flight, or that thought of like self-protection. But like, I'm just making this number up. 90% of the time, it's an illusion in our mind. It's not a real thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we just go through life and we're like, what if this happens? So I decided to cut that off. Like, it's not going to be a what if this happens, because at the end of the day, or even if it is a what if, it's like, okay, well, what if there's a string of days where you can't get internet, and, you know, fine, let's go down that road. What if I get fired? Okay, cool. Like, life goes on. I will figure it out. I will get a new job, or I'll, like I do now, I quit my job. I quit my job recently after all that time, after 10 years of working there, because I was like, freedom's more important to me. And over these travels, I realized like it taught me so much that I was like, it's time to do more than just travel. It's time to like live the life that I actually wanted to live. So sometimes the worst thing ends up being the best thing, but you'll never know until you step into the courage and realize like, hey, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, I get fired and I enjoy the Amalfi Coast without having to work. Oh, boohoo. Like, I'll figure it out. It'll work out. You know, like life just always seems to work out, and you just have to have a trust in that.
And for you, what I like about it, it's the perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the perspective of there is a greater good.
Yes, there is.
And being clear about what you want. You know, you said, how old are your kids?
They're 23 and 20.
So here you are. You were, and I was raised by a single mom. So I totally know, like, as a single mom, like, you only have like small fragments of time for yourself.
Right.
And so when you finally get to that point where you're like, okay, I don't have to be home for anybody. No one needs right. to be picked up. No one needs dinner. Holy hell. I can finally, you know, think about Allison.
Right.
And then when you finally get to that point, you got to do something about it, you know, mm-hmm. because you, probably on all those nights that you're like, oh, this is, you know, the kids are up sick, or you're sitting at some, you know, concert and you're like, everyone's playing horribly. You're like, I could be someplace else, but you're yeah. like, now is my time to be someplace else. And I have to capitalize on that.
That's right.
And yeah. and I liked that because, you know, my husband and I, one of the reasons why we started traveling a lot was
our very first like big trip we went on, we looked around and everyone who was around us, they were like in their 60s and 70s.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I'm not going to wait until, you know, my 60s or 70s to start seeing places I've always wanted to see. Like, I want to see places when I, you know, I can still be active, because maybe by the time I'm like 70 or 80, I'm happy to sit in a chair.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And traveling can be very hard on your physical body, you know, so it's already hard at this age, just like jet lag is real. And
oh, yes.
Carrying luggage is real. And like going up and down stairs is real. Like in a lot of places, they don't have elevators and stuff.
It's no.
Like, yeah. So, you know how it's like, it's not, you know, you walk a lot, you jump on trains a lot, you are running to buses a lot. Like there's a lot of physical activity traveling. And so you are absolutely right. Like, you know, sure, you know, you can wait till you're 60, 70 or whatever to travel. And that's great too. Do what you can, but also like if you have the opportunity and fear is the only thing stopping you, get on it now, because like now is the time to maximize your physical body, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you talked about, let's see, you know, trying to make the most of your life. So when was that original trip?
That trip that was for 3 months, that was just a year ago.
Oh my gosh. So it's only been a year. So since mm-hmm. that first trip a year ago, how many other trips have you gone on?
So that trip out, that was 3 months. Then I came back and in November, and then in January, I went to South America for, I think it was 2.5 months. And that was amazing too. And then I got back, and then I've been to Atlanta twice. So I started doing some United States travel. And now I'm back in California. I'm going back to Atlanta. And then in December, I'm up in the air, but I want to go somewhere for 3 weeks, somewhere outside of the United States.
Nice, 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 nice. Okay. So all of this transformation has happened for you within a year.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I like that, because you just took action. And so many people like dream and scheme, and you know, it takes them, you know, a spreadsheet for a spreadsheet kind of thing. And you just said, I'm going for it. I'm just going to do it. And I really appreciate that about you. And so now that here we are, you know, fast forward the year and mm-hmm. you're looking back, what's the biggest takeaway for you that you feel about yourself?
The biggest takeaway for me is that, wow, there's like a lot of big takeaways, but well, I'll say for myself, the biggest takeaway is personally that God has everything under control. So that's kind of centers me through the whole thing of it. But the second biggest thing is that fear is a liar. Fear is really a liar. And if there's nothing else that you do in life, I would recommend highly trying to work through getting past the illusion that everything is scary. Everything is, you should be fearful. And I think when I talk to people, they're always like, oh, I wish I could do what you're doing. I wish I could travel. I wish I could. And I say, why don't you? Oh, well, I wouldn't know where to start. I don't know how to do that. Like, I feel like people just, they don't let themselves go past the fear of the unknown. And if you don't let yourself get past that point, you're probably not going to ever do anything different.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I, you know, when you talked about the fear of the unknown, and that unknown can be any, you could apply that to anything. The unknown in like, you know, getting a new job, the unknown and, you know, leaving an unhappy relationship, or, you know, getting mm-hmm. into a new relationship, or, you know, this is about health and fitness, but like even, you know, changing up how you eat, how you exercise, you know, those kind of things really can apply to everything. Mm-hmm. I love how you take one thing and it can apply to like multiple areas of your life.
Yes, for sure.
So now that you've gone on, you know, all these trips, and you're feeling the adventure, if you will, do you feel like, do you go on trips that, do you plan them out? Like, you know, oh, I'm going on a trip every quarter, or you just kind of like feel into it? Like what makes you like go on a trip?
So I actually get that question a lot, because everyone's always asking me, well, what's your next planned trip? And it sounds weird, but I don't really plan it. I just wait for, like, I'm very much now like a go with the flow person. So something will always happen. An opportunity will happen, or somebody will say, oh, like I, you know, had a friend that went here, or I'm going here. I just came back from here. And then it sparks something in me like, oh, I'd love to go there. And then I kind of start looking into it. And then I, you know, I kind of just go with it. Like the South America trip, one of my friends, she had always wanted to go there. And she was like, you know what, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go traveling for a couple months. And I was like, she's like, do you want to go? I was like, yes. So she and I traveled for 6 weeks together in South America. And then she went on and then I went on to Brazil. So that was just an opportunity that just came about. So I kind of just let the opportunities show up. Like, for example, this December, I just know that I want to go somewhere for 3 weeks before Christmas. And so I'm just kind of like putting it out there like, okay, well, where are some of the places that I want to go that's not freezing, first of all, because I don't like to be cold.
Me either.
Yeah, it's the worst. And what's the most cost effective as well. And so I've just kind of been looking at different options. And also, like when I go on to example, like Google Flights, it tells you like what's the least expensive, where, and all these places. So like right now, one of the most inexpensive places to go is Spain. Spain, you know, is typically warmer. So that could be a contender, but I'm still kind of looking into it because I wanted to go to Vancouver, but you know, in December, Vancouver, yeah, anywhere in Canada, yeah, is freezing.
You're not pulling out your flip flops.
Yeah. And that's a harder pack because, you know, then you got to bring coats and leg warmers and all these other things. So yeah, so I'm kind of just toying around with, you know, where should I go? And so it's never really a confirmed plan until it becomes a confirmed plan, I guess.
Right. So, you know, even though you're not saying, oh, and you know, you kind of like vaguely know in December you want to go someplace. And so now you know, do some research and some legwork to be like, okay, you know, I'm going to look at price. Then I'm going to look at, you know, is it something I'm interested in?
Right. Exactly.
Now, you know, right now you're planning, you know, to go by yourself, but do you ever kind of float it out to friends like, hey, you know, I'm thinking of going to blah, blah, blah. Is anyone interested?
One of the things is, even though I am a proponent of solo travel, I think that everybody should do solo travel at some point. I say that, but I also believe strongly in connection. Through all of my solo travels, I've always been like, this is great, but I'm by myself. I think the most beautiful things, but I don't have anybody to share it with. So personally, I would prefer to go with somebody just because you have somebody there that's enjoying with you. And later on you can talk about it and be like, oh, remember when we did this, you know?
Yeah.
It's always better, but I'm not going to ever let it stop me from, if I want to go somewhere and I don't have anybody, I'm still going to go. But like in terms of like making these plans, it's really difficult because now that I am an entrepreneur, I work for myself. Not a lot of people have the luxury of going somewhere for 3 weeks or a month. Cause I believe in slow travel. Like that's my personal journey, is I don't like to go anywhere for less than like 3 weeks or a month, because I feel like I like to rest a lot and I like to explore a lot. So not a lot of people have that. However, when I do make plans and I know that maybe somebody, one of my friends would, you know, wants to go there, I'll say, hey, you know, maybe you can go for like a week and I'll continue on. I'll stay there longer. So that way, you know, I'm doing solo travel, but I also have somebody there part of the time. And then that way it's kind of a good mix. So I do kind of float it out there to see if anybody's, you know, available and would like to go to certain locations.
I've never heard that term slow travel, and and I like it because you're absolutely right. The longest vacation I had ever gone on, I went for a month and I traveled to New Zealand and Australia, and you know, it was really nice to have like a busy day and then have a day where you're like, huh, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? Versus feel like you had to do it all because you're only there for a short period of time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I like to nap. And, you know, like my channels are called Travel Snacks. So talk about travel and I talk about eating. So I like to relax. I like to eat. I like to, I like to chill out, and I'm not the kind of person that's like on an itinerary, like, okay, we got to do 42 things today and 50 things tomorrow. Like, I just, that upsets me. I don't like to do that. So I like to take it slow. I like to be curious. I like to talk to locals and be like, hey, where's the hidden spots? Like, can we do that? You know, like, can we go find those places? And when you're on a tight timeline, it's hard to be able to find like a lot of extra hidden things. Now, of course, you know, not everybody could do that. So travel in general, even if you can go for a week or 2 weeks, then still, you could still do wonderful things.
Right.
But personally, I just like to take my time.
Yeah. And so, you know, you talked about your YouTube channel, and you said it's called Travel Snacks. So, you know, so your travel blog is about foods from where you travel to?
So my YouTube channel is kind of all over the place. It's hard. Like, I like variety. So like, I get bored, I guess, with doing the same things. So it's about like, I'll highlight an area and talk about like different shops and restaurants and foods. And then sometimes I'll just talk about motivation to travel. Sometimes I'll talk about how to pack. Sometimes I talk about how to save money. There's a lot of things, but I do talk about food. Like when I was in Atlanta, I filmed it. I'm currently editing this episode, but like, I found like 3 different places that have dessert, because I'm a sweet tooth person. So I'm going to piece that together. And so it'll be like, I don't know the title yet, but like the 3 best sweets you must try in Atlanta. So it kind of gives people an idea. Like, if you're a sweet tooth person and you go to Atlanta, then definitely go try these foods out. So I just try to mix it up to where it's beneficial for someone that's watching, that they might have some good experiences as well.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Like, when I travel, I'm a off the beaten path kind of person. And also, you know, where do the locals hang? Like, don't send me to like the touristy track. Like,
right,
where do the locals hang? And just so that you can, you know, have the experience of the flavor, you know, because I think of like when people come to the United States, you know, I live in Boston, and it's really easy when you're in Boston to step off the touristy track, where some places it's not as easy to step off the touristy track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a place I want to go to, Boston.
Yeah.
There's so many places. There's like all the, I want to go to all the places.
Yeah. Don't come in December. No, we're cold.
No, I won't. I'll skip that for December.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say, depending on what your hard deck is for weather, I want to say the latest to come is, I'd say, end of October, early November. Then don't talk about Boston until mid-April, May.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a good timeline.
Yeah. We have like 9 months of winter. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was going to ask you is, so like, I travel a lot, but obviously by my channels being called Travel Snacks, I like to eat a lot, and I like to, you know, dip around and just try new things. But one of the things that I find difficult is staying, I stay active because I walk a lot, but staying like with fitness when you're traveling. So I don't know if you have some tips on that.
You know, it's funny, like, how I came up with like my 3 non-negotiables, and that started because I was going to New Zealand for a month, and I was like, you know, we were staying places, you know, 3 days here and 5 days there. So like, you really couldn't like build a big routine, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I said to myself is that I had to walk 20,000 steps.
Nice. That's
so
a good
one. It was just like, you know, and you know, when you're traveling, like, you don't have a car, so you're typically walking everywhere. So I made myself walk, you know, at least 20,000 steps. But then I also, you know, without being neurotic, I also, you know, saw if there was a gym. And I said to myself that if I could find a way to work out at least 3 days during the week, then I would feel like, okay, that's great. You know, and I didn't want to, I used to be neurotic. So I you know, I Googled a couple of places, but it wasn't like to the like crazy level that I used to be.
Right.
And then the other thing I told myself was that I wanted to make sure I got a good night's sleep, because it's really easy to, and it's hard for me because jet lag is a huge issue for me.
Oh, so me too.
I, you know, made sure that like when I did go to bed, like I was like, I need to sleep for 8 hours. And, you know, I would physically force myself to stay in bed until I hit 8 hours.
Yes.
And then the other thing I did is every day I made sure I had a salad. Because it's really easy to not eat your vegetables when you're traveling. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. So I, you know, I know what, no matter where you go on this planet, you can get a salad. And so I always, you know, force myself, be it for lunch or dinner, but somewhere during the day I had a salad.
Mm.
And I kept it so simple. And so, you know, I was like, well, let me just see how much weight I would gain by just following that, those small principles. Mm-hmm. I stepped on the scale before the day I left, and I stepped on the scale the day I got back. I put on 2 pounds.
Wow. That's good for traveling.
Yep. In 30 days, like just following those, that was the only things I followed. You know, did I have dessert every night? Probably not. But like, I didn't have that like, oh my God, mindset. And I didn't have the like, it's a vacation mindset. I was like,
right.
I was just living a life.
I think that's so huge. Like that point alone, like vacation mentality.
Yes.
Is a killer for fitness. Like you can't have that mentality when you travel, especially like if you go somewhere for a long period of time, because you will come back and you will have gained like 20 pounds. Like,
right.
It's crazy.
But I'm like you, you know, if a place is known for something, I'm not going to be like, oh, I got my diet.
Oh no, hell no.
Right. No. Where, you know, in New Zealand, they're known for they are known for their white wine. It was fabulous. So of course I'm having a glass or two.
Of course. Right.
And then they also had really good, I never was a big hard cider drinker until I went there. Mm-hmm. Their hard cider was fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And now I've become like, I'm a kind of hard cider snob, but like I love hard cider now because of New Zealand.
Yeah. But you would have never known that if you were stuck in the mentality of like, I got to stay on my diet while I'm traveling.
Right. Exactly. And that was, you know, like that 30 days, like just how your big trip to Italy was your like, you know, kind of watershed moment. That was my watershed moment, that not have the like, it's a vacation mentality where it's like, hey, I'm trying to live a life for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to be living out of a suitcase.
That's right. That's a huge mindset shift that I think, I don't know if I should say Americans. But
it's Americans. It's Americans.
Yeah, like I hate to generalize, but I actually do think so, because we're all like so, we have like different mentality that's just not, a lot of times it's kind of been force fed to us to think certain ways. And I've been challenging a lot of that thinking, especially through my travels. And I'm like, wow, like we have a lot of like messed up things that we think about. And, you know, like you said, I loved it. It's like, you know, I'm still living my life, but I'm just somewhere else. And so I need to keep it going. And personally, like the way I live my regular life, just here, even in California, I'm still living a life. I'm not going to deprive myself and be like, I'm only going to eat carrots or
right.
just a piece of lettuce. I'm going to eat, but I'm not going to eat like, you know, cookies and brownies every day. So, and I'm not going to do that on traveling either. So when I do travel, I do walk a lot. You're right about that. When you're traveling, you'll probably easily hit 20,000 steps. So
oh,
nobody
absolutely.
Should be discouraged. Yeah. No one should be discouraged about that, because even if you hit 10,000, I mean, that's still like excellent. Keeping it real, I probably wouldn't look for a gym, but if there was a hotel with a gym, I might pop in. But
right.
that salad tip, that's great, because I could do that. And you can always get a piece of grilled chicken or something.
Right.
I mean, if you eat meat, you know?
Right. There's like, no matter where you go on this planet, there's always protein. Always.
Yeah.
And every restaurant, hell, I went to Russia. Every every place had salad.
Yes. Exactly. Like that's such a good tip. Like I'm definitely gonna be taking that with me, because, you know, when I went on that first big trip by myself, I was stress eating. I was like every day, I don't know why, I got stuck on apple, like apple pastries, like apple turnovers, like anything that had to do with like apple tarts. I don't know why, because that typically is not my thing. I'm usually into like cookies and brownies and stuff, but for whatever reason, I would always find like a little cute bakery and I'd be eaten all that. And so I don't know how much I gained, but at least six or 10 pounds by the time I got back. But it wouldn't have been necessary. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need to eat that. And if I would have just like been more moderation, you know,
right,
I think it would have been fine because I was walking so much. But if I would have ate a salad, you know, like every other time instead of eating that apple turnover, probably wouldn't have gained the weight.
And here's where, like, you know, I always play like my hindsight being 2020, and I put my, you know, hindsight mat on. You were kind of you were grieving. So like during that time period, I would be like, you know what, you were grieving. And then now you've like lesson learned.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Lessons learned. And then you moved on And like, now you're like, you don't do that when you go away. But like you said, if there's a place that's known for, you know, having the best creme brulee or having the best whatever, you are going to have it. My good friend, sure, Stacy, she is sure, like, she is the queen of finding like desserts. Like, she is like, you know how they use like dogs to find like truffles?
Yeah.
She is the truffle dog. Awesome desserts. She can,
oh my
like,
gosh, that's funny,
find it. Like, she can like seek it out. So we were in Nashville last year. Yeah. Last year we go to Nashville. We were on like a freaking like pilgrimage because she's like, oh, it's just around the corner. So when you don't know, you don't know. So you're like, okay, we'll go around the corner. That corner was it was like about 4 miles long.
Oh my gosh.
But the payoff was really good. It was these, like very like decorative milkshakes. So like, say you had a cookies and cream milkshake. So, you know, they made the cookies and cream milkshake, but on the top of it, it was like the crushed Oreo with like the, you know, candied rim. Like, it was just, you know, Pinterest worthy.
That sounds so good.
You're like, should I eat this? Like, this is too freaking good. Like, I can't eat it. It looks too good. But she's like one of those people who like can sniff out a good dessert. And it's so good that you're like, no, I'm eating it all. And I'm getting my own.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, because it's like, it's just one day out of your life. It's not, you didn't ruin your day or your life or your week. It's like you just took advantage of something that's there for you. And right, you're not going to do that every day. So absolutely, personally, I think that's great.
And you know, now that you've traveled a lot to internationally, you do like, even though you said, oh, I don't know if it's an American thing. It is an American thing. Because if you think about some of the portions that we have in America compared to like when you go other places, the portions are, I'm going to say what our portions were maybe 20 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, No, you don't ever get anything the size of your head. So you now are also working with women who want to, you know, start living this, you know, travel lifestyle without, you know, you might have someone to go with, but just in case you don't have someone to go with, helping them figure out how do you, you know, set up trips like this.
Yes. So I do like a travel mentorship. So if somebody wants like one-on-one help, I can help them, because I find that like, a lot of times, like I think we talked about it earlier, is like a lot of times people don't even know where to start. So basically I do help people with travel, like I do a travel mentorship and I do that one-on-one. So I think a lot of times people get stuck in that fear that they don't know what they're doing. And so I step in and I kind of act as a guide to help them figure out first mindset, and then second of all, how to plan the trip that they want to go on. I'm not a travel agent in the sense I don't book trips, because I think that kind of hinders people for like lifelong travel, because if someone always does it for you, you won't really know, you know, how to do it. And a lot of times the travel agents, you know, they'll be doing like the touristy things and the things that are like kind of stock travel plans, which is totally fine. But I find that a lot of people want to have a unique experience that's, you know, kind of catered to them. So I kind of help them figure out what it is, what that is.
Yeah. And that's great. Cause you're absolutely right. You know, nowadays, you know, I think a lot of the good travel agents, I don't know if they're still around, but a lot of the, you know, travel agents will give you like the stock things to do in a typical trip. And that's great that you're able to, help people do that. I love that because I'm hopefully, you know, some of my magic makers here, you're inspired that you're like, you know what? You know, life's too short. I really wanted to, you know, go on an adventure. And, you know, your adventure doesn't have to be to Italy. Your adventure can be to Austin, Texas for all, you know, it's whatever is an adventure for you.
And the other thing that I do, what I started noticing in helping people is that before anybody can even get to the step of traveling or planning travel, I started to notice there's a real lack in like mindset of like people are super in this busy, like I need to stay busy mentality. So right now I'm working on a course, which is to help entrepreneurs and busy people to stop having meltdowns and self-doubt, because we're kind of locked into this mentality of being, and people are freaking out. People are so stressed. It's heartbreaking because I see so many people just literally having health problems and like you said, not sleeping, not eating right, not just totally in depression and anxiety. And before they can even travel, like we have to deal with ourselves. And so I'm working on a course to help to learn how to slow down and learn how to live life a little bit more deliberately. So that's kind of like the cart before the horse. And so that's also another thing that I'm working on.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. You're right. And I have a show, actually I'm doing an interview on Monday with someone who, you know, she has a, what she calls the chaos method, and it's a way to stop with the damn stress. And, you know, I still teach group fitness classes, and my group fitness class was asking me something about the manager of the gym. And she's like, you know, he's this, he's that, you know, Kim, can you talk to someone? And I was like, look, I go, I can't get involved in problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I sat there and I looked and I was like, oh my God, like they're making this thing a huge problem and they're making it their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all the time. Or you cover up your unhappiness with busy. If you're just moving, I don't have to think about how unhappy I am.
Yeah, definitely. And I realized that like there's several different reasons why people don't know how to rest. And a lot of it, well, there's two main things, is either you have an internal pressure or you have external pressure.
Yes.
Neither of them are good. Neither of them, both of them need to be worked through. But, you know, it's like I've just, since I've taken a step back and kind of reshaped my life to like a slower pace, I'm like, that old fable, the tortoise and the hare, that whole thing is like a real deal. Like the people that are like these rabbits that are just working, they're burning out. Like people are freaking out on like mass levels. And the people that are slowing down and going, okay, like we have time, we need to just think about what we're trying to do. And the people that give themselves room for creativity, give themselves room for just kind of like letting themselves think. We don't, like a lot of people don't let themselves even think or play or be creative. Those people are getting more done, but watching all these other people burning out. And so it makes me sad to see people burning out. So that's why I'm like, I want to be someone that helps people, that it's so sad because everyone's just like on this path of destruction. And so I don't like to see that.
Yeah. And it's funny. I totally get you with that whole path of destruction, and I see it all the time. And it's sad that, you know, people can't, you know, always feel like they have to be like a salmon swimming upstream and they can't go with a flow. And I know for me, probably about around this time last year, I was just so like in the hustle mode, and I didn't even see the burnout coming. And that, I think that's also a hard part, is that you don't see the burnout coming. I burnt out, and I sat down and rested for like a year. I didn't really work my business that much. I just kind of took what came my way, and I just needed to rest. And now I see the signs that, like, when I'm, you know, pushing a rock up a hill, I got to be like, girl, sit down, because that rock's going to flatten your ass.
That's right. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. And, you know, now I do travel a lot, but I've also, this year, we were on a tear from April to June, just traveling. My husband and I both declared a timeout. And we're like, we're not going anywhere that requires us to get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
If it requires us to leave like New England within like 3 hours, we're going to really think, do we need to go?
Right.
That, like, to give yourself permission to not do everything is freeing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think your course is, you know, what you do is, you know, dovetails very nicely into it, that like helping you get off that busy, then, hey, maybe it's, you need a, you know, to see something different. Maybe you just need to sit in front of the ocean for 2 weeks. I don't know what it is, but something that gets you off that, like, you know, hamster wheel.
Right. Because like, there's a lot of, like I mentioned, there's the internal pressure and external pressure. And like, even with what I'm doing, okay, so I obviously talk a lot about travel on my Instagram and my YouTube, and everyone's always like, where are you going next? Where are you going next? And the thing is like, originally when I first started traveling, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I need to keep up if this is going to be like my brand or my lifestyle. Like, oh man, if I'm not traveling, then I'm not feeding my followers, basically. But the thing is like, I'm just a person. So I can't get caught up. Like, if I let myself get caught up, I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to slow down. And basically, I'm just a machine. And so instead of allowing that external pressure of people saying, oh, well, if you're not traveling, then really, what are you? Which is, again, another illusion. Nobody said that to me. But that's something that I thought initially, because, you know, we all have these fake voices in our heads, yeah, that are
that
telling
was,
us.
That was your story.
Right. And so I was like, no, nobody's saying that, you know? And also, I can take a break. And also, even when I take a break, I can share how to take a break and how to like relax, because we are all telling ourselves stories and we're all trying to like push the limits, and it really does not need to be like that. And I love that, how you and your husband were like, you know what? We're not going to do this. We're not going to like wear ourselves out trying to like just, you know, travel for the sake of travel. We're going to travel when we feel like we want to explore. And I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it takes, for a lot of people, it takes a big, I don't know why it's so hard to just rest. Like, rest doesn't mean giving up. Rest mm-hmm. just means, like, you know, it's kind of when I see people fighting sleep, it's like, you're damn tired, sleep.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, there's no reason for you to give up on sleep, but it's, you know, sometimes you just need to just be like, you know what, is this what I want to do? Like, just take a breath. A breath doesn't mean you're suck. Like, there's no judgment. Like, you know, I want to know who's that, you know, like you said to yourself about like, oh, my followers, like, is there a jury of your followers who are like, Allison, if you're not taking pictures in front of the Eiffel Tower, then like, I'm so not following you.
Exactly. And also, like, to keep it real and, you know, step away from my ego, it's like, honestly, like, people don't, they're in their own lives. They're not in my life 24/7. Like, they, like, when I post something, they're like, cool, that's awesome. But when I'm not posting, they're like, oh my gosh, Allison Sharp, she hasn't posted anything in like 24 hours. What is she doing? Nobody cares that much. Like, and that's not like bad, that like people are living their own lives. Like, no one digs into someone else's life that much. So like, all of us need to like step away from that ego driven social media climb and be like, whoa, like, I need to chill out also.
Right. And the person who is following that closely, they're a stalker.
They are definitely 100% a stalker.
Right. So you should call 911.
And they can just calm down too. They can step off their stalker step and relax.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say that, I think of the Taylor Swift song, like every time, like I find myself, you know, getting in my own cuckoo, I'm like, I just sing the song. I'm like, you need to calm down.
To calm down. Like, yes. That's my theme song. I love that song.
It's so funny. Like Taylor Swift, you know, I can't say that I'm a Taylor Swift fan. And if you're a Taylor Swift fan, do not send me hate mail. I'm just saying she is not in my top 10.
Yeah, but, me neither.
Right. But
download that song.
She has like a couple of songs that like just like say it the way it is. Like, you know, like whenever you break up with someone and they're just complete asshole, you're like, and we're never, ever, ever getting back together. That song like just reverberates in your head when you think like, well, was he that bad? and you just listen to that song.
Exactly.
And whenever you're getting so like cuckoo for cocoa buffs, just listen to the song. Like, you need to calm down. Like, you just need to like step away, breathe, and just kind of like think about, is it real? Is it a story? Like, you know, am I going to die? Like, what is happening? Let me just calm down for a moment.
100% So true. Like, yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, I think that's the only song of Taylor Swift, maybe one other in my playlist. But that song is like such an anthem. Like, okay, you need to just sit down and calm down. Like, relax, sister. Like, you're going 100 miles a minute. So yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I know. So whenever I find myself like crazy, I'm like, you need to calm down. Like, it's just like, I just repeat it to myself over and over again. So see, I brought it back for my Taylor Swift fans. See, I'm in love. And I love her as a person. I think what she has done for herself and her career. All right. I think I've calmed you down.
Yes, so, for sure.
Allison, like, this conversation, this is what I love about my podcast. I call you up and I'm like, this is what we're going to talk about. Then it takes like lefts and rights, it twists, it turns. It's as like twisty and turny as the scary road to Amalfi.
Yep.
But this time you didn't feel like you were going to die, because I felt I was going to die a few times.
Yeah, I did then. But this conversation, I'm still feeling pretty calm.
Yeah, me too. So what I like to end all of my calls with is like, what makes you feel magical?
Ooh, what makes me feel magical? Oh, I just have to say freedom, like feeling free, just feeling like I can make choices for myself and nobody's holding me back except if it's myself. And when I choose to allow myself to be free, then I feel magical.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I'm a freedom girl myself. And this has been a great conversation. And, you know, I want to thank Allison so much. And all of the things we've talked about, like any links or anything like that, all going to be in the show notes. So if you were scribbling notes like the way I was scribbling notes, I just want to let you know there's going to be a place for you to find them. Allison, thank you so much. Oh, where can people find you on the socials?
Oh, boy. Okay, so... Well, the first thing is my website, allisonsharp.com, sharp with an E at the end. I think my main social medias are YouTube and Instagram. My YouTube is Travel Snacks, and my Instagram is travelsnacks_. So those are the places where I live on the internet.
Awesome. So again, I'll link all of that up in the show notes. And, you know, if you want to go stalk her on Allison, she totally loves it. So Thank you so much. And it's been such a great conversation. And thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.